Grizzlies try to bounce back against the Orlando Magic tonight at FedEx Forum, but they'll do so with a bit of an injured squad. Yeah, what else is new? Welcome to Grizzly Basketball. You are Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome to this Draft Wednesday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Yeah, you'll hear about that coming up in the middle of the broadcast. This is a partnership with our pals over at Draft, who do a great fantasy basketball and really cool single-day drafting site for you that you can win some real money. And I'll tell you about it throughout the broadcast. But you can follow me. You can go download that Draft app right now and follow me. I am at Locked On Grizz. Send me a message and let me know, and we can have some fun out there. And I'll tell you more about it, like I said, later on in the podcast today. But it is game day again, FedEx Forum again, site of, well, a hell of a lot of missed shots on Monday. And you have to hope that the Grizzlies have gotten that out of their system, but it looks like it may be a bit more of a challenge than originally expected to take on a very good Orlando Magic team, because injuries are starting to mount for the Grizzlies. And we're going to hear from head coach David Fizdale momentarily, talking about Mike Conley, who has really struggled. And you heard me on the pod yesterday talk about Mike Conley, and without knowing anything, I speculated that it just didn't seem like Mike was healthy. Didn't seem like he was right. That was just my, like I said, it was a speculation, wasn't based on any kind of inside information or whatever. But lo and behold, David Fizdale talked a little bit after today's practice about Mike's situation, and he kind of revealed that Mike's been going through some stuff.
Last night, I should have taken a page out of Steve Clifford's book and put somebody bigger on Kemba for more in the game. I know that he wasn't feeling great, but Mike doesn't leave that on, and he takes those challenges. And so as a coach, sometimes you're caught in that gray area of, do I save my player from himself? But obviously throughout the year we'll be doing stuff like that to save Mike's legs. But at the same time, I feel like we got a team that's got a lot of balance. So I don't really feel like I got to save Mike, because I feel like guys like Tyreek and Rio, Dylan Brooks, we got other contributors, Jermichael when he comes back, that Mike's not going to have, I don't think, for us to win games. He's not going to have huge nights every night, because I think we're going to have great balance. I think we're going to be solid defensively. I think most nights Mark has a great matchup, at his position and his ability to space the floor. So, but once Mike is feeling better, I think we're going to see a lot better basketball out of him. Right now he's just fighting through a lot of just nagging pain and, stuff that you can't control. Well, it's the same. It's always going to be the same thing. It's always going to be his Achilles. It's always going to be sore. That's just part of that injury. Sometimes it feels better than other times. And last year during the same time, he was sore. He missed 4 or 5 days of camp last year because of that soreness. And it's just getting back into the competition and doing it every day again and getting through that threshold of pain. And then once he gets to a certain number of games, he gets his legs under him and he feels better.
Yeah.
Recently it's just been bothering him. And, at the pace that I want to play and the way we play defensively, it puts a lot of pressure on where he's tender right now. So, but I think, once we break through that pain threshold and get him to that point where he's feeling good again, you're going to start seeing better basketball.
So after hearing that discussion and after hearing the explanation from David Fizdale, I went to kind of go back and look and watch the game again and watch some of the possessions. And, Mike, it's not as if it's something that is so overwhelmingly obvious. He's not walking with a pronounced limp. He's not, failing to leap and finish and that kind of thing. But he doesn't look quite as dynamic. He's a little more easily knocked off his line. He's just displaying, a lack of crispness, I guess is the best way to put it. He doesn't look right. He doesn't look like himself. And, you know, for a guy that was, as you know, we discussed yesterday, one of the most efficient, one of the best scorers, pure scorers on a per possession basis in the entire NBA last year, to go from that to what he has done to start this season, you know, something is definitely not right. This is a worrisome thing from Mike, because if you heard, you know, Fizdale's discussion, not only did he say that there was a, you know, a pain situation involved, but it was something that is always going to haunt, I guess, since, you know, it is the day after Halloween, that's probably the wrong term, but something that's going to haunt Mike for the rest of his career, something that's going to be with him, something that he's going to have to manage for the rest of his career. That doesn't sound great. That doesn't sound ideal. It wasn't a real major, huge issue last year, but the Achilles thing was something that reared its ugly head a couple of seasons ago and has kind of stuck with him. You know, Mike's always played hurt. It's been a well-known thing with Mike for forever, going back long before the broken face. The guy has taken a lot of punishment in his NBA career and has always played through it with very few exceptions. The guy came back from a broken back in about 2 weeks last season. You know, the list of injuries that he had 2 years ago was insane. I mean, the guy has played through a lot of stuff. So you appreciate the toughness of playing through it, of course, but if he's going to play through it and not be able to be effective, then that's a problem. It's nice that he can play through it. That's important that he can play through it. But for him to really be able to play through it, he needs to be able to be effective in playing through it, not just getting out there and being okay and being decent. The Grizzlies aren't going to be able to maximize what they do without Mike being better. So the terms that you hear from Fizdale with regard to this stuff about managing the pain and about how it's always going to be there and, you know, that kind of stuff is alarming, I would say. It's alarming. It's not anything that I would, you know, go completely insane over. It's not something that I would, you know, immediately like drop Mike Conley out of all my fantasy teams or whatever. No, I wouldn't say that, but you know, there is a reason for this. There, people who are as good as Mike, who have had a consistent upward trajectory in their career, don't just all of a sudden throw that away. They don't all of a sudden just forget how to perform. They don't forget how to make shots. They don't forget how to finish at the basket. If they're not able to do that, there is a reason for it, and this is as plausible a reason as any. Mike is not the only guy who is injured on this team, of course. Mike is listed as questionable for tonight's game, as is Marc Gasol. Mark was listed as questionable the other night, same thing, the ankle. And it was not a real major issue for Mark on Monday night, though he didn't play well either. And he hasn't played well, so maybe there's something there. He didn't appear to be in especially huge amounts of discomfort, but maybe it's affecting his play as well. Something to keep an eye on. Maybe both those guys end up sitting tonight. I would be surprised, but if those injuries are a little more serious than expected, then that could be the case. We also got an update from the Grizzlies, and you know, I've been asking and prodding and hoping to see something official, and finally we got word yesterday about the status of Wayne Seldon, Ben McLemore, and Jermichael Green. And according to the Grizzlies, the situation for them, Jermichael Green is, according to them, progressing well and getting back on the court for some light court work, expected still to return to game action in around a week and a half, 2 weeks, depending on, you know, Fizdale said a week and a half, something like that. They say 2 weeks organizationally. I mean, that's, you know, roughly the same thing. So, you know, a couple weeks, that's good. Good news. Ben McLemore, continuing to rehab the fracture of his metatarsal. He's returned to full practice, according to the team, including contact, which is great. Expected to return to game action himself, also in approximately 2 weeks. And then Wayne Seldon, the one that was particularly confusing, I guess, or the one that has been kind of strange. Wayne Selden, again, according to the Grizzlies, continuing to progress as he rehabs his right quad tendinopathy. He is progressing back into limited practice activities, and his status remains day to day. You know, that is an interesting update. I don't know that we ever had heard that he was dealing with right quadriceps tendinopathy. It's good to get a name to what he's dealing with. It was just listed as a quadriceps injury, but we didn't know what it was. That is the same thing, actually, that Kawhi Leonard is dealing with at the beginning of the season, and he hasn't played either for the Spurs. It's not anything that necessarily has to be a major problem for the player, but it can be a little bit pesky. The quadriceps tendinopathy, as a lot of tendinopathies are. In fact, you know, that's really what Mike Conley's dealing with is a tendinitis or a tendinopathy or, you know, an inflammation of his Achilles, which has been, you know, something that he has had to deal with. So it's a similar type of situation, and it can be chronic, or it can hang with you for a while if you're not very careful about when you return. So I think the Grizzlies are probably doing the right thing here with regard to Selden and taking it nice and slow and making sure that he's fully recovered in the same way that the Spurs are doing that with Kawhi. It's an injury that, you know, you can't really do much other than rest it. You can rehab, you know, slowly and surely, but you just need to make sure that you don't use it. And that quad it's difficult to do much basketball wise without using your quad. I mean, that's a huge part of any of your lower body motion. So Selden's return, it doesn't sound like it's necessarily especially imminent. Sounds like everyone is at least 2 weeks away and maybe a bit longer in the case of Selden. So Grizzlies will have to muddle along as best they can. I'm glad that we've got some information, and it's good news from Jermichael Green and expected news from Ben McLemore. The Selden thing is perhaps a little bit troublesome, but we won't know for sure until the next few weeks elapse and we see if Wayne Selden actually does get back onto the court. If you love fantasy basketball, then try Draft. It is my new favorite app. It can be your favorite app too. It's absolutely free to download from your app store, and then you can play for real money. And if you're smart, like all you guys are, you're going to win some real money. It's daily fantasy basketball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Now, here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night. There's no management. There's no worrying about injury or this or worrying about what the other guys are doing. And forget that stuff. You set it. You forget it. You're done. Because, look, the draft is the funnest part anyway. You're in fantasy leagues. The draft night, the draft stuff, that's the funnest part of the whole deal. And then the rest of it is, you know, kind of is what it is. Draft gets you right to the fun stuff all the time, and it's really easy. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wires, none of that stuff. And they even take care of all those last-minute injuries. So let's say on the off chance you do have a last-minute injury that crops up, they take care of it for you. It's easy, it's fun, and you can play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just a buck. So there's a draft for everyone, and they go up from there, and you can make some serious cash if you know what you're doing. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app at any time. Just search Draft in your app store. Join a game in minutes, or you can play right from your computer on draft.com. Whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players will get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOGrizzlies. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code LOGrizzlies on your first deposit on Draft. So this Draft Wednesday, make it special, make it fun, make it a little extra lucrative for you out there. Get that free entry when you make that first deposit using the promo code LOGrizzlies. Download Draft. Do it today. All right, so time to talk about the matchup for tonight. The Magic come to town, and the Magic have played really well this year. I mean, there's no question that they are among the very biggest surprise teams in the entire NBA. And they have been spectacularly above expectation, way beyond what anybody could reasonably expect from this team that you know, had gone through such a tumultuous last few years, and it's never turned out to be good. But they are the second best offensive team in the NBA this year in terms of efficiency. They are the best spot shooting team in the entire league. They can shoot like crazy. As a team, shooting 43% on jump shots, that is definitely the best in the NBA. They are the second best catch and shoot team in the NBA. The best unguarded catch and shoot team, these are all synergy numbers, the best unguarded catch and shoot team in the entire league, shooting 52% on open catch and shoots, which is tremendous. They really do make you work on the defensive side of the ball, and you know, this is a team that can put up a lot of points on you if you're not careful. For the Grizzlies, they really have to mind themselves, and you're gonna need to find somebody to hang with Nikola Vucevic. You know, Vucevic has been outstanding this year. I mean, he and Chandler Parsons are probably weirdly enough to say the two biggest pure improvers in the league, you know, in terms of what they've gone through from year to year. You know, Vucevic was not great at all last year. He wasn't injured, he just wasn't very good. And this year he has been anything but. He's been spectacular for this Magic team. You know, Evan Fournier has been terrific. Jonathan Simmons has been outstanding as a pickup from the Spurs. Aaron Gordon is still full of crazy athleticism and flashes of true brilliance. We talked earlier, I guess probably, you know, what is it, a month ago when the Grizzlies played the Magic in the preseason. Jonathan Isaac looked really good. I think Jonathan Isaac is going to be a big problem very quickly for a lot of people in the NBA, and he's looked good. So they've got a really talented group that is overachieving. You know, almost none of those guys would I have expected to be anywhere close to as good as they are, even though you may like some of them in certain situations. I always liked Aaron Gordon, but, you know, again, for it all to come together as quickly as it has is a credit to Frank Vogel and a credit to those guys, and they are going to be a tough opponent. They're just coming off the victory on Monday night themselves against the Pelicans, who you know, have put on some good performances. I mean, the Pelicans had beaten the Cavs by 20. The Pelicans had come off of a really nice performance against the Kings, and you know, they had Anthony Davis back, had Boogie Cousins back, and those guys were good, but the Magic blew them away. Shot 51% from the field, 47% from three in that game, and you know, spread the wealth among five guys who scored between 17 and 20 points, and two of them coming off the bench, including Grizzly legend Mo Spates, who's been pretty darn good for the Magic. He had six threes the other night. So Grizzlies, this will be a test of the bench, because the bench is going to have a challenge to deal with a very good Magic bench, and it will be a test of the offensive capability of this team. This team's going to have to score. You know, defensively, there's only so much that you can do against the Magic. You're going to have to score, and you're going to have to start hitting those shots that they missed the other night. They're going to have to find some consistency, and if you can't, if you're not going to have Mike and Mark, or even one of those guys is out, then you are in, you know, big-time trouble. So even though this team is 5-2, it still feels a little bit tumultuous. Feels a little, it's there are definitely some things that are a little bit troubling, and you know, you're sort of wincing and hoping that it's going to kind of blow over, and this is going to be a little bit of a rough stretch, but everything is going to be fine. You know, you can't get too crazy, you can't get too worried, because you know, this team has found ways, you know, to win. But on Monday night, they found a way to lose. They found a way to lose a game that they really had no business losing by missing a whole bunch of shots they had no business missing. Yeah, David Fizdale at practice said by their, you know, they have their own way of charting all this stuff, but by their charts, they were 4 of 22 on wide open threes, and they were 15 of 28 in what they call makeable layups. So when you put up numbers like that, you're never going to win. You cannot win games blowing opportunities, open threes, missing 18 of 22 wide open threes, and missing 13 of 28 makeable layups. That is a tremendous amount of points that you are leaving just out there without being able to get it done. That will obviously have to change tremendously for them to be able to win against the Magic. The Magic are a good team. Magic, as I mentioned, the way they shoot, you had better be ready to score points. You'd better be ready to, you're not likely. I mean, although the Grizzlies certainly defensively are excellent and can clamp down, but you're not likely to get that game, you know, into the 90s. Grizzlies do have a way of choking off some of those teams, and you know, to be fair, we've seen it against the Rockets twice, a very high scoring team, a team that can move and can fire off from three like nobody else. The Grizzlies did do a really good job of putting the clamps down on them, so that maybe they'll be able to do that against the Magic. But the Magic are a big challenge and a much better team than I would have thought, and maybe the casual fan out there, maybe than you think. Don't be surprised. That Magic team, they are absolutely, at this point in time, at least at this part of the season, they are for real. And credit to Frank Vogel in the job that he has done. As always, you want to get in touch with me, you can. I am at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. Thank you for following me. Thank you for the kind words and emails as well. I've gotten some good ones, and continue to send those in response. I really appreciate that. P. Edmiston, that's P-E-D-M-I-S-T-O-N, @gmail.com. I read them all, respond to as many as I possibly can. And once we reopen the mailbag in a couple weeks' time, that's where you're going to want to send those questions in. If you have any that you want to send in the meantime, then you can do that too. And I will, from time to time, read some here on the podcast if they are, you know, particularly relevant to what we're talking about, and they're good. So please feel free to send those in. I'd love to hear from you wherever you happen to be listening to the podcast. Thank you for doing so. Thank you for listening to the podcast today, and I will talk to you after the Magic game on Thursday. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.